And so on that note, let's go to our feature for this week's show. We'll be speaking with Chris Ramsarup from Justicia for Migrant Workers. We have him on the line. And so, Chris, are you there?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
How you guys doing? Good, good, good.
So, Chris, we wanted to start by asking you, there's been a huge, tremendous amount of mobilization among migrant workers recently around the deaths of two people. I want you to explain to our listeners what happened and what's been going on.
There have been a couple things that's happened. So, Brothers White and Brothers Roach, there are two workers who were employed under the Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program. It's a government-sponsored program that brings up migrant workers to Canada, as many of your listeners will know. These two men had worked in a apple or organic apple farm north of Owen Sound. September 10th, they went to work just like each one of us goes to work. They were working in a cider pump, a cider tank, and the pump had broken. And they went inside the tank to try to fix it. And the tank itself was a confined space. When the first worker went in, he died immediately. One of his co-workers went in to try to help him. He died also. And for many of us, this is reminiscent of 10 years ago in Drayton, Ontario, which is not too far from where this accident occurred. Three Mennonite workers had died in a similar instance where they were cleaning a manure tank. So 10 years later, the conditions still exist for agriculture workers in general. 10 years later, there has been no justice for migrant workers, period.
And so, Chris, I mean, you mentioned what's happened. How is this connected to, like, immigration status and, you know, the seasonal agricultural workers? How is it that people are able to be put in such precarious working conditions on a day-to-day basis?
So I think this is twofold. So first, I guess, to the previous question about what's happening. So workers are mobilizing, communities are mobilizing, to one, to call for an inquest into the deaths, two, to call for changes to health and safety laws, and to call for other provincial changes such as snap inspections, and eventually, if necessary, criminal investigation into the deaths of these workers. At the federal level, it brings back to the control issues of the Season Ag Temporary Foreign Worker Programs. These programs indenture workers to one workplace. Workers, if they do stand up for their rights, and this being harvest season, and the harvest season's about to end, we've seen many, many cases of workers being sent home for being injured or for standing up for their rights. So this is it's not an exceptional phenomenon that some people and some commentators would want to let you know, but this is very much embedded in this program, which denies people the ability to have status. And there's a correlation not only with the immigration laws, which are deplorable, racist, xenophobic, and perpetuating these conditions, but our labor laws also work in tandem with our immigration laws to deny people rights.
And Chris, migrant workers and their allies have been mobilizing consistently around these deaths as well as deaths in the past. But there's been a special mobilization around a particular action on October 10th. Can you talk a bit about what's going to happen on October 10th for people?
Yes. Connecting with working conditions across Ontario, with the expansion of agricultural guest worker programs, such as the low-skilled temporary foreign worker program, the work of Justicia and many other on-the-ground organizations have led us to meet a lot of comrades who come from countries such as Thailand and the Filipinos, workers who pay $10,000 to $15,000 to work at jobs that pay $7 or $8 an hour. And in our meeting with several of these workers, they're fed up of paying recruiters. They're fed up of paying contractors. They're fed up of being coerced into oppressive conditions. And we, around the G20, had a conversation about the history of organizing and the history of marches. And the workers were like, look, we should be doing this type of stuff. We should be trying to let the public know what the hell is happening to us, what conditions that we're facing, and the coercion that are going on. So the workers developed the idea for the march. Thanksgiving weekend was chosen, so people would realize that when they sit down to eat, that the fruits and vegetables, the chickens turkeys that they're also eating, have blood on it. They have blood, they have the exploitation, and the history of exploitation that comes with this food. And the idea was to say that there's a series of demands that these workers have, and that for one group of people, the permanent residents of Canada, to enjoy, these workers have to make sacrifices and to make sure that people do not forget this.
And Chris, if you can talk a bit about like the history of this type of mobilizing. I mean, there's been a number of different marches from, for instance, there was undocumented migrants that marched from Montreal to Ottawa in 2005. And I'm wondering, like, what is the significance? Why should people make the choice to come out from Toronto, here in Toronto, all the way out to Leamington to do this march?
With respect to migrant or temporary foreign workers, this is the first time in Canadian history anything like that happens like this. Temporary foreign workers have never, there were many workers that took part in the first march with undocumented workers, but the particular issues facing Season Ag, temporary foreign workers, I believe that this is the first time. The history comes very much from the communities where these workers come from. So whether it's workers from India, workers from the Caribbean, workers from Mexico, many workers have the history of engaging and organizing and doing these type of long marches on the first part. In the North American context, part of the discussion was one of about the G20 and the history of the G20, but it was also part of the history of the United Farm Workers of America on their long march to Sacramento to demand rights and labor reform within the state of California. So it was trying to bridge that gap, bridge what's happened in California, what happened in Florida, what happened in Montreal, to ensure that there's a particular focus on these workers who, for the most part, are forced into invisibility and forced away from the eye of the public.
So maybe some of our listeners might be listening to your interview and saying, well, hey, you know, the conservative government talks about like temporary migrant worker programs as such a great idea, and they're expanding it so much. And like, why would these people be complaining? Like, and you know, I'd like to ask you, like, what is it like at the heart of these programs that you're talking about that needs to be really looked at?
I guess when a lot of times when I get asked that question or when I'm doing talks, the first thing what I mention is about indentureship. Indentureship is not a rhetoric word. We're not trying to use that to appeal to people's emotions. Historically, indentureship has meant where people are attached, they're forcefully attached, they're coerced to one employer. They do not have the ability to move. They do not have the ability to stand up for their rights. And historically, as many of our communities face this, this is exactly what's going on in Ontario. This is going on across Canada. And this is a shift in international migration that's happening all across the world. So while the government is engaging in doublespeak, saying that it wants to protect workers, really it's penalizing and punishing those workers and letting employers, contractors, and recruiters profit through a system which denies people the ability to move, the ability to defend themselves, and to fight back. And I think, in closing, I think that's the key message. Irrespective of this government, irrespective of their ability to attack foreign workers through new regulations which deny them the ability to come back to Canada after 4 years, or deeming what is genuine work permit and what is not a genuine work permit, people will fight back, and people will fight to change their situations.
That's exactly right. People will fight back when they're put in these conditions. And Chris, maybe we could, you know, thank you for your time and let us know how people can support the mobilization on October 10th.
I think one of the ways is they could go to the Justicia website, and there's some information there. I know that some of the sisters and brothers, someone's legal, is helping out with the organizing and bringing people from Toronto to the march. So
definitely
connecting with the sisters and brothers of No One's Illegal, I think, would be critically important as well, too. So I think that's maybe the place to start, with No One's Illegal and with Justicia for Migrant Workers and our website, which is migrantworkers.org.
Great. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris.
All right. Y'all take care. Peace.
Okay. Take care, Chris. Okay, so you were just listening to an interview with Chris Ramsaru from Justicia for Migrant Workers. He was speaking on the recent death of two seasonal agricultural workers at work who were killed on the job. And so there's going to be a mobilization on Thanksgiving weekend, October 10th, to talk about how we are all implicated in this oppression that happens and how we all have a responsibility to act against this oppression.
So everyone needs to be there. And Leamington, Ontario, I know you all don't go on road trips too often, but Leamington, Ontario is where it's going to be at. If you check out either the Justicia website, which is justiciaformigrantworkers.org, or if you check out toronto.noonesillegal.org, we'll have information of how you can get involved.
Yeah, And we know so many of our allies are in the environmental justice movement, and we speak about the importance of, you know, local and organic food and the environmental justice movement here. And I think an important plank of any serious environmental justice movement is to talk about how it's not just about local food, but there's also local oppression when we think about who is producing our food, how the food gets to our table. And so this is another important way where people can demonstrate the way that social and environmental justice are very intricately linked together, and how we have to take on that work as part of any meaningful social justice movement.